I'm going to go ahead and open the mic up to some other people here just so that we make sure everybody gets a chance to say their opinion here today. Jamie has something to say. Thanks so much for sharing, and feel free to stick around.
We're not really talking about abortion is...
It's cutting
That's
out
cool.
of the distance. Just step over here. At the sign, the open mic.
Okay. We're mainly talking about whether or not it is fair to make somebody who does not want a baby, who does not have any interest in prenatal care, who does not have the means to access prenatal care, what are you going to do with all of those women who have no interest whatsoever in trying to have a healthy pregnancy, trying to make sure that their baby is developing correctly? Once they have this baby who is deformed or, you know, mentally handicapped, what are you going to do with them? Because there are not a lot of people out there who are going to want to adopt babies who have problems.
What would you suggest that we do with them?
I don't know. What that's you're saying, don't have an abortion. I'm saying if you don't have this baby, then you should have the option not to have to have this baby.
I think we can do a lot better job as a culture of being appropriately self-centered. Here's what I mean by that. I don't think we should forget ourselves completely, right? I mean, if I'm not taking care of myself, and I can't really take care of other people, right? So I think we should be appropriately self-centered, but I think we're way too selfish as a culture.
But you're saying that as a responsible man who absolutely, if you got somebody pregnant, you absolutely would not abandon them. You absolutely would be there to make sure that your child is being taken care of. There are lots and lots of men who do not care. There are lots of women who don't care.
And that's why I'm standing out here as a responsible man, trying to convert people to my position, trying to help people to be like me.
You will never make an irresponsible woman, an irresponsible teenager, a woman that has four kids already, you will never be able to make them responsible. There's nothing that you personally will be able to do that will convince them, oh, yeah, I'm not being responsible. I should probably go ahead and take a couple of parenting classes so I'm not beating the crap out of my kid every day.
But you know what I can do? I can sit with other friends of mine. And I can actually seek to have friends who disagree with me, which would help this process. But I can sit with people, even like as we're doing here, and challenge them to be a little bit more like me. Now, I'm not trying to put a lot of, I'm not trying to praise myself here. I don't really care about any of that. What I care about is people like my friend Jessie, who cares for her three kids as a single mom. And Jessie is doing her very best to be responsible, etc.
Jessie be a responsible parent.
Should we encourage all women to be responsible parents, or should we encourage them to do this to their children?
You can encourage women all day long to be responsible, but you are never going to get through to a woman who absolutely has no desire to have a child. Who you're talking about people who are educated, people who feel like they have a sense of responsibility, and I think most of the people who have abortions probably have no interest in having a child. They have no, most of them are scraping up money just to have the abortion. If you have to scrape up money to have an abortion, you cannot afford to have a child, no matter how much help you get.
Do you think most of those women, if they had the resources available to them, might actually be helped along in the character changing process and become more responsible with their children? What do you think?
I think that a few of them could, but, you know, what are you going to do about the mom who's, you know, leaving her four kids to be taken care of by their five-year-old brother so she can go get her crack fix? What are you going to do about the mother who continuously has unprotected sex and gets pregnant over and over and over again, who, you know, doesn't have the resources to go and get educated? What are you going to do about the woman who takes a day off from work and can't afford to feed her kids? The woman who has no car, the woman who has no support, the woman who has no anything to that will help her take care of this baby.
Well, I guess I'm just wondering, because it seems like we're maybe selling people out. Like, you're irresponsible now, you're stuck because you're always going to be irresponsible. I know that I used to be very irresponsible. Very. I was a kid. I was a teenager. What teenager is responsible, right? But, I mean, and you are an incredibly responsible woman, taking care of your daughter and being willing to sacrifice for her. But don't you think that other women have the potential to be that, even if they're not currently that? Are there things we can do to help train them to care about being responsible instead of just saying, you're stuck, you're always going to be irresponsible, too bad for you? You know what? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I agree that it could be possible to help them, educate them, you know, teach them how to parent. But you are talking about the woman who has the time to learn how to educate, you know, the time to learn how to be a parent, the dedication to learning to be a parent, the desire to learn to be a parent. If you are telling a woman, you have to have this child, not only are they going to resent it, they're never going to take the time to be able to do this. Parenting is very, very hard. It is very time consuming, and you have to be willing to give up everything in your life, even your TV shows, the radio. I can't listen to what I want to listen to on the radio because my daughter's in the back seat. You have to be willing to give up your time, and you are never going to convince somebody that does not want to that they want to. They just, you will not be able to do it. And so your other option is put them up for adoption. So, okay, you have all these kids up for adoption. What do you do with them when nobody wants them? Where do you put them so that they can become productive members of society? Where do you put them so that they are getting educated, so that they can keep up in school, so that they can be part of the No Child Left Behind? Because they are definitely getting left behind. There is no place for these children to go.
These are concerns that I think a lot of us can agree with. In fact, I share your concerns for these people. And you have done a great job of laying out a lot of the complexity that these women feel and that we as a culture, I think, feel with very real situations. Here's one thing that I think we can also agree on. The solution that's being proposed in the legislature in the Netherlands is forced abortion for those women. I think we can agree that's not a good idea either. Would anybody else like to speak to the concerns that have been brought up here, the real, very real practical concerns that women face?
Hi, my name is Tim Wiesner. I'm with Choices Medical Clinic. We convince women all the time that don't want to have their children to have them, and we don't do it by words usually. We do it by pictures, and we show them a sonogram of their unborn baby. And we have some of the hardest women come in that clinic. They don't want counseling. They don't want to see what abortion is. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to watch a video. But they are interested in looking at a sonogram. And we take them back there and we show them a 4D sonogram of their baby. And sometimes they're so small they can't even see the baby, but they hear the heartbeat. And you can see this change come over their face. And that's my baby.
I've known that. And, I've been there. I've had a
cool
sonogram and seen my baby. But those are women.
Make sure she gets on the mic.
Those are women who are coming to your clinic because they are truly having an internal conflict about what they are going to do with this baby. There are women out there who, if they didn't have a choice, they would have to have the baby. What do you do with them next? What do you do 2 years down the road when this, you know, little baby that, you know, slept all the time and was really good, all of a sudden turns into a total nightmare who all day long they're demanding, screaming, yelling, spilling stuff, kicking things over, throwing toys? What do you do when that parent starts to lose their mind, lose control, and absolutely has no desire to try to figure out how to work with this baby?
She's got a real handle on the real world here, Tim. What would be your response?
Well, do we kill them proactively?
I don't know what to do with them. I mean, my debate is not on whether abortion should be legal or not. My debate is on what organizations who are saying, you know, abortion must be legal or must be illegal, what are they doing to make sure that when it is made illegal, that all of these children who would have been victims of abortion, what are you doing to make sure that they are raised in an even halfway decent way?
What are you doing about that?
Well, I go with adoption. You know, there's a waiting list of people wanting to adopt as long as the number of babies we're aborting every year. That's why people are going to overseas and paying $25,000 for an adoption, because they want children desperately and they can't get them over here because we're killing.
What about the babies who are born to mothers who have no prenatal care, who have no interest in having prenatal care, who are born deformed or whatever? There's not going to be a really long list of people that want those babies. They want healthy babies. They want babies that are going to grow up and possibly look like them, or, you know, possibly, you know, be normal, healthy, happy children. What do you do with the babies that are born to mothers who are on crack, who could possibly afford to have a $400 abortion, but could not afford to get to the clinic all the time, or who don't even care about getting to the clinic? You know, they have kids, and I mean, I teach in elementary schools, and I see children who come from families that have eight other kids. There's, you know, the five-year-old gets up in the morning and takes care of all of his brothers and sisters before he has to get himself to school, plus two or three other kids, because the mother is either, you know, sleeping, or she has to work from the time that, you know, the sun comes up until it goes down, because she has no support, no money, no nothing. SRS is nothing. Welfare is nothing.
Is adoption an option for those women?
I believe yes, but who is going to want to adopt an unruly three-year-old?
According to the National Adoption Information Clearinghouse, which you can find online, I think it's NAIC.gov or something like that, but it's according to that organization, there are over 100,000 couples waiting to adopt newborns right now. And in fact, in a press release a few years back, they said that it was not just healthy newborns that were going up for adoption, that actually hard-to-place babies, what people think of as hard-to-place, actually aren't hard-to-place, because people are willing to adopt any baby. In fact, there is an organization called CHASK, CHASK.org is the website, and they advertise on their website, our organization, our group of families, our community, is willing to adopt any baby with any difficulty, suffering, not suffering, disability, no disability, black, white.
Why are there kids in foster care?
Well, it's a complicated answer, right? We'd have to look at each individual family. And in many cases, they're in foster care because their parents both can't care for them and won't give up their parental rights.
Right.
And I think in many cases, the problem with these situations is a problem of selfishness, as we said before, not a problem of, pragmatic circumstances. Let me ask you this, Tim. Do you, at Choices Medical Clinic, do you provide services to women who decide to keep their pregnancy, or what services are available in this area for those women? That was one of your big questions, I think.
Aftercare. I want to know about aftercare. The pregnancy is all fine, you know, take care of them, pay for them to have their baby. What are you going to do afterwards when they won't give up their parental rights, when they can't take care of this baby, when, you know, their baby is suffering and they're stuck in court for years, but, you know, they go back and forth to foster care? I know people who take care of foster babies. And if there's people on the waiting list for children, why are their children in foster care?
They're too selfish.
They want newborns.
Because they're too selfish.
And what are you going to do when you have a whole lot of parents who are convinced by, you know, they love their sonogram, they love this newborn baby. 2 years down the road, they don't really love this baby that much. This baby's a total nightmare, and this baby is, you know, hasn't been taken care of very well. This baby is nothing but a burden to them. So they get them taken away and they're put in foster care. How do you handle all of these children that are now in foster care that were not allowed to be aborted?
Well, Tim, how many women came to you last year wanting an abortion or abortion-minded and decided not to abort their babies?
We had about 350 that wanted an abortion and had a positive pregnancy test, and probably 90% of them kept the child. But what do you do in a marriage when 2 years after you're married, you decide you don't love your husband anymore and the thrill is gone? What do? You get a divorce, right? I mean, life is hard. There's no guarantees. But I remember once I spoke to a religion class here at WSU, and we had the hardest looking Vietnam veteran sitting in there that you ever saw in your life. And he was grizzled and beard and had the fatigues on, you know, and he was scowling at me the whole time I was talking. And I got done and I opened up for questions and answers. And the first thing, he raised his hand, he said, "My life was a literal hell. I grew up with parents that didn't love me and they wouldn't take care of me, and I never had any good breaks. Nothing good ever happened to me my whole life." And I said, "So would you have rather been aborted?" And he said, "No, I'm glad I lived." People deserve a chance. We can't just, like the credit card companies, you know, we can't prejudge their credit. We can't prejudge and say, "Well, because we think you're going to do this, we should kill your baby." or you should kill your baby.
But you're like, you're taking something from, you know, a man who has lived his life already, who has, you know, who's a thinking man, who's like responsible for himself now, and you're saying that, you know, this two-year-old is like, yeah, you know, I would have rather not been aborted, you know, my life's probably gonna suck, but, you know, what do you do? And do all these people who are out here saying that abortion is wrong, do all of you have foster children currently in your home? Are you trying to take care of these children who are unwanted?
I don't think I would be a good parent because I travel the country about 20 weeks out of the year.
Don't you think you'd be a better parent than the woman who absolutely has no interest in taking care of her child who sticks them in an unsafe playpen for the majority of the day?
Yeah, I can't get a hold of those children because their mothers have parental rights. I think I would be a better parent, and I've actually considered this. This last couple of months, I was thinking, should I be a single parent of one of these kids? There actually aren't. There are foster kids, older kids, but many times, again, their parental rights are not terminated. We had somebody else here who wanted to speak to one of the concerns that was raised.
Hi, I was listening, and I just wanted to say that I was born in 1959. At that time, there was a rubella outbreak, and my mother had rubella the first trimester. Statistically speaking, if you are in utero in the first trimester affected by rubella, you are born completely deaf, completely blind, stillborn, or with gross facial disfigurations, or with microcephalus or hydrocephalus. I was not born any of those, except that I'm deaf in my right ear. Now, I also want to add to that now medical doctors who do perform abortions would often tell the mother, as my mother, you know, there's this option. You can abort your baby. Of course, they won't say you can kill your baby. You can abort your baby. It sounds so much better, so much more politically correct. Now, I'm here to testify that life is good. However, life was not good as a child. I was one of those foster children. When you spoke of the Vietnam veteran, I said, I've got to speak because I was one of those foster children. I was neglected. I was abused. There was just terrible, terrible things that happened to me as a child. But as I grew up and saw that there was life out there, and I will say that, yes, life, like the gentleman said, life is hard, but there is hope. I was human in my mother's utero. I'm still human now. So bottom line in my mind, is it ever okay to kill a human? Like, was it ever okay for slavery to be legal? To me, if we look at the whole bottom line of that issue, is it ever okay to kill a human?
My thing is it ever okay to make somebody have a baby that they don't want, to make them have a child, to bring a child into the world that you know for sure probably will never get any type of love, any care, and you are one of the lucky ones probably. You know, you grew up, you were responsible, you looked at the better side of life, you had a very optimistic point of view. There are many, many people out there who are not like you, who do not have that, who absolutely have no interest in making society better, in doing anything, because they've had a really crappy life. Multiply that by all of the people who are getting abortions every day. And, you know, it's fine for one person to grow up and be like, you know, life isn't so bad, but I think it's absolutely society's problem to say, you know, okay, you can't have an abortion, but we're not going to really do that much to help you if you don't.
But I think we would all agree that we need to do better as a culture, as a society, for those women. Well, that's a big debate, right? Some people would say the government should solve the problem. Some people would say communities should solve the problem. Some people would say just the individual should kind of get them, you know, kind of get themselves up by their bootstraps.
But that's coming from somebody who cares. You care. I care.
So let's help other people be like us.
How do you do that when you've got these people who absolutely don't care? They do not care. You're not going to convince them to care. They are absolutely selfish. They don't want this baby. And if they're forced to have this baby, there's really no telling what's going to happen to it. You know,
haven't they already been forced to have the baby? the sperm and the egg came together, and they already have a baby, don't they?
You can absolutely tell that you are a man, because there is a 100% difference between being pregnant and having a baby. Being pregnant is so easy. Being pregnant is nothing compared to taking care of a child. And if you are not ready to be pregnant, and if you are not ready to go through pregnancy, then you are absolutely not ready to have a baby.
Okay, I hear your point. You had an idea, sir.
Well, I would just say that if you don't want to have cookies, don't mix up a batch and stick them in the oven.
Well, that's easy to say. I mean, that's really easy to say. And that's like the whole, you know, don't want to have a baby, don't have sex, you know, don't want to get in a car wreck while you're drunk, don't drink, you know. But you're telling this to people who've heard it a million times. They hear it, use a condom, you know, don't have sex. They're still doing it.
Why is that? Why are they still doing it, even if everybody's talking about not having sex?
Because sex is fun.
Yeah, and I think it's also, I agree, I think it's also because the people who are saying don't have sex, or when that message comes out, it typically comes out with a kind of this confused counterpart. Don't have sex, but if you're going to have sex, use a condom. The message of that statement is you probably don't have enough self-control in order to keep from having sex, so if that's you, go ahead and use a condom. How is that helpful? I would suggest we have better sex education, where we teach people to have self-control. And we teach men, especially, not to get in bed with a woman unless they're willing to shoulder the burden, the responsibilities of fathering a child. Because as you expressed very eloquently, many fathers are abandoning the women that they impregnate. Right? And the women that you've talked about today, the women who are in difficult situations, I would be willing to bet that in many of those cases, a majority even, the man has reneged on his responsibility. He has left the scene, or if he's in the scene, he's complicating things. He's not looking out for her best or the baby's best. He's probably looking out for his own best. So it seems to me that's where the problem lies, is we need to encourage these men to do differently. Why isn't that a part of sex education? I think the condom solution, we've got condoms being handed out here today by some people. I think that solution, it really doesn't solve the problem. The solution that solves the problem is self-control. And when I was a preschool teacher, we used to talk about good old SC. We try to teach the kids to have good old SC. Don't hit your neighbor, that sort of thing. And this is the same kind of thing. These just aren't preschoolers.
Oh, thanks. Don't you think your efforts would be better used to lobby against, like, the school districts, to talk to Congress, to say something like, you know, to spend your time trying to change the sex education classes, to try to make a difference in, you know, trying to educate, you know, students, to try to change curriculum at schools? Don't you think it would be better spent than trying to convince college students who've already made it to, like, 20 years old without getting pregnant? Don't you think it'd be better spent trying to, you know, change the way that schools are done? Trying to, you know, get out there and help in the foster system. Get out there and help the women who are pregnant. Do something besides, you know, put up posters of dead babies.
Well, the problem for any educator is that you have to find a way to motivate the discussion. And what we found is that pictures are a good motivator. They motivated you to stand out here and talk to us in the hot sun.
Actually, they didn't. What motivated me was just like listening to you say that there's 3,600 abortions done per day. They shouldn't be allowed. And, you know, I just want to know, what do you do with 3,600 babies every single day who are born to people who don't want them?
Okay, well, we've been talking about that for a while now. Let's let someone else into it. That's okay. Great. Thank you for joining us and your comment.
Before you go, I just wanted to say that I'm another one of those not aborted babies, and another one of those foster children that is so glad that my mom did let me live. And there are more of us than you think, probably. So
multiply that by 3,600 a day, multiply it every single day by 3,600 every single day, and you are lucky. You're a very lucky person who was able to get out of foster care being a responsible grown-up. add all of these unwanted babies to foster care, and there is no way that they are going to be able to keep up, to be able to care for these children, to be able to nurture them and teach them to be responsible adults. There's just no way. There's not enough people out there who are willing to take foster kids, because foster kids are difficult. Foster care is hard. It's, you've got constant interference from parents who don't want to give up their rights. You've got the foster care system saying, we don't know when we're going to take these babies, but love them like your own, and, you know, keep them for a year and a half or 2 years, and then we might take them and give them away to, like, their aunt or uncle or something. It happens all the time, and...
So we agree foster care needs to be reformed.
Absolutely, and don't you think your efforts would be better used to try to, like, reform foster care, to volunteer at foster homes, to try to, like, show these kids who are already here and unwanted, try to show them what life can be, instead of, like, trying to convince people not to have abortions, because you're never going to convince a selfish person not to be selfish.
I actually don't think that would be a better use of my time, and here's why. There, with any act, when you're trying to solve a problem, any activity you do could be kind of pointed at the result, or it could be pointed kind of at what produces the problem, or the philosophical underpinnings, the ways people think that produces it. And what I get out here is the chance to talk about sex and self-control and what makes a human being valuable, what makes a human being exist. I get to talk about all of that with the very people who are aborting babies. 45% of abortions are 18 to 24 year old women who decide to abort. And 90% of those cases are, I'm aborting for social or economic reasons. So I feel like this is the perfect forum to come out and have these kinds of discussions about self-control and responsibility for men. I mean, I'd be glad to sit here on the open mic all day and talk about responsibility for men. Men tend to be hard-headed. They need a picture. They need, 14 repetitions. And I actually think they need a little peer pressure. So I would advocate that any man out here give peer pressure to his male friends to quit being irresponsible with their sexual lives.
I totally agree, but it kind of sounds like you're more interested in results than in taking care of the end result. The result is you convince a whole bunch of people not to have abortions. The end result is you've got a whole lot of kids out there being parented by parents who have no idea how to do it.
Well, actually, at the end of the day, I want to convince people to have really great sex, which would be sex in a situation where there's commitment. I would want to encourage women to have sex only with men who are committed to them.
Well,
and so I want to encourage that kind of holistic approach, a flourishing life, because that's what's going to present, that's what's going to help us ultimately to be a more welcoming, loving society for these babies as well. So my agenda here actually isn't just to stop abortion. I want to promote a certain kind of sexual behavior, namely committed sexual behavior, in where a man has stood before a woman's parents and friends and said, I will love this woman no matter what, even when she gets boring. And I think that's the kind of commitment we need. And I think he should say that he's not willing to have sex with her unless he's willing to make that commitment. I think that's the way it should be.
And a whole lot from teenagers and young men who are never going to do that.
Maybe, well, I believe in human potential. That's why I do that.
Maybe instead of, like, putting up abortion pictures, maybe you should put up a year's worth of diapers cost, you know, $5,000. This is what a poopy diaper looks like. This is how much time it takes out of your day to take care of your kid. This is how much daycare costs. This is what your wife looks like when she's had no sleep and she's a raging maniac.
We're actually willing to take those suggestions for our, because we're changing the, we're going to produce a new version of the exhibit, and we are taking suggestions. If you fill out there's a copy of the exhibit brochure that people have. It's that little pamphlet that people have with them. If you fill out the back form that is on the exhibit brochure, you can make those kinds of suggestions. And actually, anyone who's listening, we'd love to hear your suggestions. You can fill out that form on the back of the exhibit brochure. Anyone who's working with the exhibit has a copy of that brochure they could give you. So I'm not sure that that showing a picture of a poopy diaper will be effective.
No, get a real one.
Hang it up.
pass it around.
With the sense, with all of the smelliness is included, right?
Foster kids out here and let them parent them for a day. Let them see what it's like.
Parenting classes. That's okay. You want maybe parenting 101, like crash course.
Yeah, show them what it is really like to be a parent, because it is not that much fun. And I just don't think that people look at this and they're like, yeah, that's a picture of an abortion. That sucks. But, you know, this is not going to change my mind about the responsibility that a parent has once they have a baby. All it does is convince me that, you know, this is not effective. It's just not effective. And it doesn't convince me anymore at all not to have an abortion.
It doesn't do anything for you. But for Nicholas's mom, it was crucial, because she sent us Nicholas's picture 2 weeks ago, and Nicholas is about 4 years old now. And here's what she said. Here's what she said. She said, I saw your exhibit. I was pro-choice. I got pregnant the next month, and I would have aborted this child if I hadn't seen your exhibit. Now, do you think Nicholas's mom is having an easy time of it? Probably not, but she's very glad that she didn't abort her baby, and I think she's been able to care for her child. She's probably learned to care for her child a bit in the process, right? But that was because she saw this exhibit. We had a woman come to us who was raped, and she said, I would have aborted this pregnancy. I got pregnant from rape. I would have aborted if I hadn't seen your exhibit. And she held her two-year-old child, I think it was an infant at the time, up to us and said, this is proof that God can bring good from evil. Now, because she was raped, and here was the child. She was happy that she was able to have this child, given the circumstances. Now, obviously, she didn't want to be raped. But that just shows that, at least for some people, again, as someone said earlier, an anecdote is not, data is not the plural form of anecdote. Just telling a story doesn't make an argument. But what it does show is that, at least for some people, it's helpful. It maybe hasn't helped you, but at least it does help many people. I just want to thank you for, I'm going to let you say kind of the final word here, because we have to shut the mic down, but I just want to thank you for being willing to stand out and give your opinions and share so much of the important feelings and circumstances that many women face. We need to hear that, and I really appreciate you sharing that. Do you have anything that you have the final word here?
I mean, abortion is not easy. It's not easy to get pregnant and know that you are killing your baby, because you are killing your baby. But it's also the hardest thing that you will ever do to raise your baby. And some women are not ready to raise their baby. Some women are not ready to dedicate prenatal time. They are not willing to take care of their child. And I just think that your efforts would be much better spent doing things for children who are already here, doing things to help these children who have no love, no parental guidance, no anything that helps them feel like healthy, normal children. I think that if you are so dedicated to stopping abortion, then you should also be extremely dedicated to making sure that these children who are brought into the world have every advantage that you have had and that I have had, and that children who are brought into the world are not subject to our thinking that abortion is just, it's just wrong, it's just mean, it's not right. You know, God says no. Take care of the children that are here, and then maybe you can convince me that we should not abort the children that aren't.
I made a promise that would be our last word. Very passionate, last word from someone here on campus. So thank you for sticking around, those of you who are listening. We will be back tomorrow with the open mic, and we're actually out here ready to talk to anyone with any opinion on any part of this topic. So again, we'll open the mic up again tomorrow morning at 11:30. All right.